Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Gurmeet Singh to the broadcast. Gurmeet is the Senior Vice President, Chief Digital Officer, and Chief Information Officer of 7-Eleven. As CDO and CIO, Gurmeet leads 7-Eleven's full-stack digital and technology transformation and is responsible for digital product management, big data, digital user experience, digital partnerships, digital marketing, digital technology, enterprise technology, and research and development. Prior to 7-Eleven, Gurmeet was head of direct-to-consumer auto finance at Capital One, where he grew the digital consumer business three times over, revenue-wise, in less than 2 years. Prior to Capital One, Gurmeet led product marketing at Intuit, and prior to Intuit, Gurmeet was a managing director at FedEx. He also spent time as a consultant at McKinsey & Company. Gurmeet received a Bachelor of Technology degree from the Indian Institute of Technology in Kanpur, his Master of Science degree in Engineering from Texas A&M University, and his PhD in Engineering from Rice University. I recently caught up with Gurmeet by phone in his office in Irving, Texas, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as Gurmeet highlighted the importance of attracting top technical talent and how his organization does so. Principle 2, infrastructure, as Gurmeet discussed the full-stack transformation 7-Eleven is undertaking, which includes both front and back office technology. And Principle 3, project and portfolio management, as Gurmeet shared the portfolio approach 7-Eleven takes to exploring new technologies, including developing a portfolio of technologies that are ready to scale and technologies that are still in the concept phase. We also discussed how Gurmeet is redefining convenience with software, changing customer expectations, loyalty, and a variety of other topics. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you'd give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by TopTal. TopTal helps organizations achieve the world-class skill, execution speed, and agility they need to win in an environment of increasing innovation and competition, especially in the realm of talent. Blockchain is a topic of increasing relevance to companies, and chief information officers need to develop a talent pipeline to help implement a blockchain strategy. I recently caught up with TopTal's CEO, Tasso Duval, who offered his top five thoughts on obtaining blockchain talent.
First, when hiring blockchain talent, don't focus too much on specific experience, especially since the tools of the trade are changing rapidly. Instead, hire people with a strong baseline knowledge of development and who have experience with cryptography or distributed systems. Second, look for developers who are enthusiastic about the technology. That enthusiasm will provide motivation for them to stay up to date on best practices and innovations in technology. Third, focus on quality of previous development work and attention to detail. Faulty development work can cost a lot in the long term, especially with blockchain implementations. Fourth, ensure you're peer reviewing the talent that comes into the network or that comes into your organization through other experts so that you're ensuring their blockchain knowledge is up to speed with your expectations. And fifth, ensure that when you're providing a management framework for the developer to work within, it's one that considers blockchain at its core, ensuring that the developer is not only working with best software practices, but also best blockchain practices is very important.
Gurmeet Singh, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Hey, Peter, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Gurmeet, I thought we would begin with your set of responsibilities. You are the Chief Digital and Chief Information Officer of 7-Eleven. And I wonder if you could take a moment to describe your role in the greater context of 7-Eleven.
Sure. So I started at 7-Eleven as the Chief Digital Officer, primary responsibility being driving digital transformation, and at a company that represents such a great opportunity. I mean, this company founded convenience at a global scale with 65,000 stores in 18 countries, you know, 55 million customers visiting the stores every day, and with 20 billion transactions on an annual basis. And you take that and you overlay the consumer trends and the new technology trends like big data, the digital payments, and you have the perfect formula for redefining convenience. And my role as the Chief Digital Officer is to make this happen for our customers, our franchisees, our store associates, and our employees. Now, one of our strategic pillars for our company is to become a digitally enabled organization. So in my role as the CDO, I set the strategy, I set the vision, we're developing new business models, new digital product experiences, which also includes establishing a product management discipline, user experience design, data scientists, digital marketers, and digital technologists. Now, I'm sure, Peter, you understand that technology is really a key element of a digital transformation or becoming a digitally enabled company. So initially, when we started off with what most companies have been doing and what most consulting companies have been citing as a strategic approach, which is, go build a two-tier architectural model, which means you have digital technology capabilities in a different tier versus the legacy ones. The digital technology capabilities are being developed at a higher speed by decoupling from the legacy enterprise, which have longer release cycles at slower pace. They need more robustness. And in addition, what was happening was our enterprise or the legacy work was being managed in long cycle processes as projects, not really as products. So, one of the things I always kind of say is org models in any company are always changing, and they should be changing, and they're just a function of maturity of the company, the need of the hour, the market factor. So as we evaluated the speed of our transformation, we felt that we were not really getting to the speed we need to be. And in order to get there, to what I call a full stack transformation, it's a word I coined. And when I say full stack transformation, a lot of technologists will get it. It's all the way from consumer-facing technology to, back-end technologies, ERP, all the way to infrastructure and cloud. But it's a little bit more than that. It's also the organizational full stack. And so in order to do that, to really bring more efficiency and effectiveness in our decisions, in our prioritization, and driving what I call productization of IT, we decided to bring these two together, bring the CDO role and the CIO role and combine it so that we can actually drive productization of IT, and we could drive what I call vertical product slices while working on horizontal capabilities, not one after the other. Otherwise, you're just taking too much time to get the business transformed. And if you do not do a vertical slice, you don't know what customer problem you're trying to solve. So it actually helps you get there faster. Now it's harder, but what you end up doing is you drive more synergies. You actually drive higher team engagement. You speed up your transformation journey, and you end up creating a stronger pool of talent as one team. And we did was we combined digital and IT, and we called it the iDigit team. So DIG and IT is digit, which is very much digital. And I dig it also means I like it. I love it.
I like that a lot. I dig that that overview. I appreciate that. This is really interesting. As I think about the path that you're laying here, clearly you are thinking years out. The sorts of changes, hard work to be done in the near term to make the organization more nimble for the long term. And I'm curious. Obviously, as you point out, you don't have the luxury of shutting down the business for a year or two, making these changes and reopening it as though you're remodeling a house, let's say. This is a going concern. There are customers to serve, franchisees to serve, as well, as you point out. And I'm wondering, how difficult was the process of selling this internally? Was it difficult in having your peers among the executive leadership understand the rationale behind the hard work to be done in the near term for a better outcome for the long term?
Yeah, it actually was not that difficult. And I think that's the great part of being at 7-Eleven. I mean, we have an entire executive team here. We meet very regularly. We are sharing our progress with each other regularly. So, you know, I think the key here was Joe DePinto, our CEO, and his vision and his desire to kind of really, what, as I said, a strategic pillar being become a digitally enabled organization. So look at the choice of words. It does not say become a digital organization. It does not say we need to be in digital. It says become a digitally enabled organization. So it kind of goes back to the word I mentioned earlier, full stack transformation. And in order to do that, you immediately realize that the change has to be beyond your borders. So it has to be beyond your first circle. It has to be in the second concentric circle. And that sort of really took, didn't take a lot of time for people to kind of say, yes, I think in order for us to move fast and in order for us to drive the transformation we need, we can do both things together. And it's really, you know, bottom line, it's all about talent. And if we can get the right talent and the right people, we can actually make it happen.
Can you talk a little bit about that talent? It's a great point you make that with all the technology changes that are necessary, so often people will focus on the technology, but obviously it's the people ultimately that you need in order to drive that change. As clearly the sorts of resources with the sorts of skills necessary for this kind of a transformation also happen to be some of the most in-demand skills and people possible. I'd be curious how you make your pitch, how you have come about the development of that team and bringing them to Fort Worth and other places, the Dallas-Fort Worth area and other places, in order to be with you on this journey. What does that pitch look like?
Yeah, so I think the it's a very good question, and you're absolutely right. I think it's the kind of talent that is needed to drive this kind of transformation is a talent that is in high demand. However, I think the key aspect is, and I think given my experience, as we talked about going through the FedEx experience, the Intuit experience, the Capital One experience, that helps with the credibility with the talent in terms of me trying to pitch them a story. So that credibility is there in terms of what I can do and what I can achieve and what journey they have seen in the past. The second thing is, we do have a great story here. For anyone, what I say, a credible talent, anyone who's looking to be what I call a maker, a fanatic, someone who's looking for a problem and says, you know what, I would love to be part of this problem because I can make history. You know, and that's that story, that pitch, really helps, because that helped me come in. I looked at the problem and I said, wow, this company is sitting on such a huge, strong infrastructure that if we combine with digital, we can actually make it really big. So one of the things I always say is, you know, the success of 7-Eleven up till now has been based on a strong operations team, a strong merchandising team. The success of the future is operations plus merchandising plus geeks. And that's kind of, you know, what we're looking for talent. We've been able to attract some really good talent. And again, you know, as you sort of start building it and you get the momentum and you start getting more talent attracted to you. And that's why it was very important for us to go out, you know, build stuff in the market and share the success in the market that, hey, this is a huge amount of opportunity. And as I've interviewed talent, the moment I describe to them, they're the ones who are kind of talking about like, hey, we could do this, we could do that. And I'm like, that's the right person to bring on to our company.
That's wonderful. You've also set a goal, Gurmeet, to, and I'm quoting, redefine convenience with software. Can you describe what you mean by that and sort of the methods of doing so?
Yeah, sure. So in fact, you know what, why don't we first start off by the basic premise of redefining convenience. You know, we've been a leader of convenience globally, but just by being physically convenient and having store physically, you know, available, conveniently accessible, open 24/7, it's not enough for the future. Why? Because the closest store to a customer today is in the palm of their hands. It's in the voice assistant. It's in their connected car. It's in their connected home. So, you know, and that's why I believe most retailers have struggled, because most of them just don't think out of the box, and no pun intended here. You know, they focus on creating the store of the future, driving traffic to the stores, important things. But we at 7-Eleven are focused on creating what I call experiences of the future that are convenient, that are delightful, and our stores absolutely play an important role, but they're not the whole equation. So when I say redefining convenience, what I really mean is, how can we be in the consumer's ecosystem, which is on their mobile device, in their voice assistant, in the maps, or wherever they are spending time. So when we bring the store to them, we will bring it to them how? We'll bring it to them through partnerships, through delivery, through APIs. And in order to create these delightful experiences and in-store experiences, we require technology. And that's what I mean. We need to be acting like a software company, an API company, a big data company, and really sort of become a technology first company. So, take Airbnb, Amazon, or Uber. I mean, these are at the core software companies. I mean, Uber redefined convenience in the taxi business through software. I mean, they ended up creating new markets out of this. And the other aspect I would say, when I say redefining convenience through software, is to the earlier discussion we were having around talent, is bringing what I call the product management mindset to how we work, how we are agile, the design thinking, the technology to solve customer problems, bringing what I call what the maker culture. And going back to the point I made earlier too, in order to do all of that stuff with software, we see, you know, going from operations and merchandising to operations and merchandising and geeks.
Right. Exactly. Very interesting. And I know that part of what you're also rethinking is loyalty. You have the 7 Rewards program. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the evolution of that and the role that it plays in combination with some of the themes we've already been discussing.
So one of the things I would say, remember I talked about creating the experiences of the future. We at 7-Eleven want every customer interaction to be valuable and delightful. And so you ask, how do we do this? And we can do this by building what I call personalized connections with our customers. And loyalty becomes a key element of building those personalized connections. We expanded our already successful loyalty program, which you talked about, which was there earlier, in which it was focused purely on what we called a cups program, where customers would buy 6 cups of, you know, our proprietary beverages, and they will get the 7th one free. So we've extended that in many ways. We gave customers more ways to participate in the program, which is, earlier on, it was only through the mobile app. We added mobile web, we added a loyalty card, and added what I call probably the industry first digital loyalty card through Facebook Messenger chatbot. So that sort of kind of increases gives them more ways to engage with the program. And then we also give them more ways to earn and drive more engagement. So now customers can go earn points on most items they purchase and get bonus points. And it sort of creates this gamification aspect, because I can earn points here, and then I can earn more points when I buy this, and I can earn bonus points. So it sort of gets our customers getting more engaged with our program. And they can choose to redeem these points through a menu of products in the store. So we actually expanded that as well. So think about the program going from only a cups program to more ways to engage, more ways to join, more ways to earn, and more ways to get value out of the program. In addition, our 7 Rewards program gives customers coupons and deals. And you talk about delightful experiences. In our case, the coupons are automatically applied when you check out. You don't have to worry about, did I apply this coupon or not? As long as those things are in the basket, the coupon gets automatically applied. And we've been very pleased with the results and the solid growth we've seen very quickly. We are now at 12 million strong and growing, and our app store ratings have increased substantially. I mean, I, I, you know, I'm, don't even our previous ratings, I don't want to talk about them. We went from iOS rating of 1.5 to 4.8.
Wow.
And we were as high as, on the food and drink category in the App Store, we were as high as number 4. And if you look across all apps, and I'm talking so many apps, we were at number 57 very recently. So that speaks to the new user experience we provided in the app and all the capabilities and new ways we actually put together for our customers.
Really fascinating. And Gurmeet, I wonder, can you take a moment to talk about, we're talking about the evolution of customers, their expectations, the ways in which mobile technology, digital technology now needs to be a complement to, an enhancement to, sit alongside the physical experiences of more traditional retail. And I wonder how as you think about these customer journeys, different personas of people who shop at 7-Eleven, can you talk a little bit about the methods that you use to remain up to date as to the evolving desires, wants, wishes of your customers?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. I mean, the bottom line is, I keep talking about, you know, customer experiences. You know, being usable is not good enough. You have to create experiences that drive, you know, that delight the customer, sort of that drive emotion. And users are expecting things to just happen for them. They expect recommendations. They expect frictionless experiences. And to your point, I think it's sort of a broad question, but it goes back fundamentally again to the fact that, you know, you think about that yourself as a software company. I talked about product management mindset. I talked about design thinking. And it's that combination when you're being customer first and you're thinking through the customer journeys, and not just the journey of the customer of today, but what's that potential journey of the customer of tomorrow. And then you layer in. So some of the things we do is go through customer journeys. We observe, we video, we look at data. We interview, and we are constantly evaluating, you know, where the pain points are in the journey. So for example, take for example, checkout. People are time starved. They are on, you know, they are on the go, and they expect a convenience store to be a fast transaction. Most, on average, our transaction is 90-second transaction. How can we even speed it up further? And that's where you start looking at, okay, how do we introduce digital payment technologies or self-checkout technologies. So technologies kind of become part of the equation, but the number one thing is we want to look at what is the journey, where the pain points are, what problems are we trying to solve? And that sort of goes back to the methodology of design thinking and the journey mapping and sort of the whole product management mindset. And then going back and doing A/B testing, building minimal viable products, going out there and doing proof of concepts and doing this continuous learning thing that sort of helps you evolve. Also being knowledgeable about what the customers may not be thinking today, but if you provide them, they will be delighted. So really innovating for the customers. So take, for example, I mean, I'm one of the things which really interests me is this combination of user interfaces and new technologies. Voice search and voice technology is pretty big for me. I think it's a pretty big thing. You know, we've seen that from data that, 50% of all searches in the future would be voice searches. It's very easy to see why this can provide a frictionless experience. A typical person can type 40 words per minute, but they can speak 150 per minute. So voice technology and machine learning can really help drive new user experiences. So that's kind of the combination as we're looking at. We look at, you know, the journeys, the friction points, how we think about the consumer of the future, and even beyond, like what can really delight them, even if they didn't ask for it, and then what technologies can we fit to really drive that experience, and then continuously testing them to make improvement on those.
It's very interesting, Gurmeet. You mentioned machine learning. You talked about voice-enabled technology. These are a couple of examples of a broader panoply of emerging technologies that I know you and your team are experimenting with. I know that drones, biometrics, some others are also on your roadmap. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, just sort of your thought process on engaging with some of these these newer technologies. Do you have a portion of your team that is sort of focused on the art of the possible or an innovation lab of some sort? I'd be interested in your methods.
Yeah, and I'll just, before I get onto this question, I want to just answer one more thing on your previous one, so remember when I talked about the combination of the CDO role and the CIO role, and we talked about full stack technology organization.
Yes.
In order to create a lot of these, in order to provide these experience to the customers, a lot of the backend technologies have to move from batch oriented to real time. And hence the combination of transformation cannot be only on one layer. It has to actually go cut across all the layers. So that said, I'll come back to your question around emerging technologies. The R&D center, or we haven't, you know, we're sort of putting together the R&D center, but we are already started to test new technologies. We have a CTO function that reports to me, which is part of the preview of that CTO function is to be testing new technologies and doing proof of concepts. And the way we think about them is basically in two categories. You know, one is technologies which are already proven out there, and we've sort of been able to prove and are ready to scale. And number two are what we call emerging technologies. And sort of we are building capabilities with production ready technologies, you know, even beyond things like, you know, serverless microservices based architectures, chatbots, big data, AI. And these are areas where we are sort of looking to scale, you know, as we sort of drive the business benefits back to our customers, back to our store associates, our franchisees, and even internal stakeholders like merchandising and operations. For the emerging technology, what we do is we closely watch and actively experiment. Kind of the good part today is a lot of these software libraries are open sourced, and in, you know, even companies like Amazon or you know, Microsoft or Google will actually let you experiment with them. Because they want companies kind of creating POCs with those things. So we do quickly, you know, we experiment with them, and we will quickly adapt and implement. So if you think about that, the Facebook Messenger was one example where we leveraged a chatbot for a loyalty signup that has not been done before. We were able to take the physical card and convert that into a digital card on Facebook Messenger. You know, we continuously are trying to experiment with technologies like blockchain and other aspects, and then sort of building POCs to validate, test in the market, come back, and we are going to formalize a full R&D group into actually as an innovation lab. But while that is going on, that's not stopping us from testing these things. The other benefit I will say, from an emerging technology and testing approach is the fact that we have global scale and presence is a huge benefit for us. I'm not sure if you saw my blog article that I wrote on LinkedIn, which was thinking globally, which means think globally and act locally. The fact, Peter, is that customer trends and technology trends that we are encountering today are global. I have visited Korea, China, and I see that all these countries are facing the same trends and technology, customer and technology trends. Now, they may be at different stages of maturity. Some are leaping ahead. So when I was in China, I saw massive adoption of digital payments. And I was surprised that in the US, we were so behind compared to what I saw in China in terms of the adoption of digital payments. Now driven primarily by WeChat and Alipay. When I visited our South Korea team, they had introduced a very interesting concept of biometrics and unmanned stores with pay by hand. So what I learned interestingly was the veins in your palm are much better biometric than your fingerprints, and they're more secure and more sanitary. So you end up registering your palm linked to a payment method and off you go. You look at our stores in Thailand, they just announced the launch of facial recognition in AI. So we have a lab beyond the lab we have here through these stores and our presence in the world. There are things we can test. We don't have to prioritize them here. We can just test them outside and bring them back, and vice versa. So, I mean, that's kind of has helped us, in multiple ways on sort of experimenting with emerging technologies, testing new concepts. Again, I go back all in service to the customer experience and the store experience.
Excellent. Well, Gurmeet Singh, thank you so much for joining us today on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a really fascinating conversation.
Hey, Peter, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please join me next week when my guest will be Mickey Budai, the Chief Executive Officer of Transmit Security.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com.
And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.